Wonderful. Thank you so much for leading us, team. Good to see each of you. And you guys are beautiful people. And I'm going to ask you to do something really strange. Just turn to someone and just say, "You're beautiful." Can you do that? You don't have to believe it. Although, if you're married, yes. No, I'll stop that. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that. I get the finger waggle from him. You're beautiful. Wonderful. It is it's a privilege to be here, and an honor to even be a person that could speak into our lives here this morning. So I want to trust that God would have a word for each of us, and not just for me, but for all of us. And so let's pray. Jesus, thank you for how we were led in worship this morning and the words that we are singing that the leaders have chosen that brought to mind who you are and who we are in light of this great mystery of your love for us. And so this third Sunday of Advent, I pray that you would just do that we would experience Advent, the inbreaking of you into history. And would you do that in our own lives today? And so we look forward to what you have to say to us. And we pray that your scripture would speak clearly. In your name, Jesus, amen. So our series in the last few weeks is Affordable Priceless Gifts. And Peter started off by looking at the gift of helpfulness. Wayne spoke on humility last week, and it's my pleasure today to speak on encouragement, and I'm adding on affirmation as well. These gifts are just that. There's nothing we can do to attain them. It's grace. And I'm adding affirmation. If you notice the door hangers, there's a bit of a typo. It was supposed to go helpfulness, humility, but we put affirmation there. So I thought I'd just throw affirmation in here as well, because the passage that we're looking at speaks very clearly to that. So when I look at words, I like to try to understand them a bit more. And so we're just going to quickly look at Merriam-Webster's definition of a few words. So we're going to look at encouragement. So here we have up here, it is the expression or approval of support, the act of giving hope or support to someone, the feeling of being encouraged. And I'm like, okay, it's almost the feeling of being encouraged. It's using a word to define the word. And I thought, let's look up courage, even though you understand it, you know it a little bit, but it was great to look at this definition. The quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, without fear, it's bravery. And I thought, aren't we all in need of that today? Aren't we all in need of that at some point in our lives today to be able to face life with courage in a very sarcastic, do as you please, individualistic culture? I think it's truer today than ever before that we need this type of encouragement in our lives. And let's look at the word of affirmation. Affirmation, the assertion that something exists or true. So today we're going to look at a passage of scripture that at some point God speaks in breaks into someone's life and says, "I affirm this, I see this in you," even if they didn't see it themselves. The word affirm means to state or assert positively, to maintain as true. So as we look at some of these words, we want to have that understanding. So often, there's things that are true in my life, but I don't believe them. Or the opposite is true. There's things that sometimes I puff myself up. I believe in something that actually isn't true. And so sometimes I need to be humbled in my life with certain things that aren't necessarily true. But there's, for the most part, sometimes there's things that are happening and things about who I am that I don't believe. And there's tapes, that negative tapes that play in our minds. I don't know if you're like me at all, but sometimes those negative, those tapes play in your head. And there's things that are said about you that you're saying about yourself that someone said in the past or that nobody said in the past, but you're somehow you're, I sound really crazy right now. What I mean is that we can all be that way, right? And so we're not that far from it. And it is with affirmation and encouragement that come into our lives that help us navigate life, help us understand who we are. And I think that's very essential to understanding, to understand who you are. Because understanding who you are affects what you do and how you do it. It's very fundamental. So today we're going to look at how God has given this gift of encouragement and affirmation to someone in need of it in the passage that we're going to look at. And we have the good fortune at looking at an Advent text, or a Christmas text for that matter. We will try to unpack this passage to see how this gift of encouragement and affirmation is given, to whom, and how that same gift can possibly be given to us today. And what do we do in return? So set the scene. In about 4 BC, there was a 14-year-old Jewish girl who was about to be married to a hardworking, honest carpenter. She had lots of dreams in her life. They had all kinds of these hopes for the wedding day, as well as their future as a family. He loved his bride-to-be, and he would be the best, do his best to provide for her, to love and cherish her. And they would be a good, devout Jewish family in a culture that thrived on holiness, reverence, and social rightness. She had waited for Mr. Right. She remained a virgin. And she could only dream of her wedding night with her soon-to-be loving, caring, and supportive husband. And maybe burly and handsome. Then this teen gets a visit from God, from the greatest angel, with a message. The message was that she's going to be pregnant, and it was going to happen before the wedding day. And it rocked this couple's world. What? I've taken the course. How does that happen? I'm a virgin. I've waited for Mr. Right. How can this be? I've planned a beautiful wedding. I've done all the right things. So let's look at the passage. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. So God shows up to Mary through an angel in the ordinary of life. She's planning a wedding. She's dreaming about her future, thinking about whether she can fit in the dress or not. And all the people on the wedding list, would have been the entire village and maybe another one beside it. And God says, "You're going to be pregnant, but you won't have sex. You're going to, what would have swirled around in her heart, in her mind at that time? What would this look like? What would Joseph think? This is crazy. What would my family and friends think of this situation? In verse 29, it says that she was confused and disturbed. Mary's confused and disturbed. She hasn't even heard the crazy news yet that she's going to be pregnant and be a virgin, but she's confused and disturbed by the fact that God's messenger is in the living room, that God would actually show up in her life and want to say something to her. What could this mean for her? God brought affirmation to her in the everydayness of life, also later rocked her world with this great announcement. But he starts with, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." It's in the everydayness of life that I think we need the most affirmation. It's these times that we need to understand who we are and who is favoring us so that we can live a life being extraordinary in the ordinary. He sends his best to a teenager, and he begins with affirmation. It's hard to believe the truth sometimes. I don't know about you, but sometimes, I don't know if it's our culture or not, but have you ever experienced someone that's come along and, "Hey, I just want to talk to you." And you kind of, "Oh my, what are they going to talk to me about?" Or someone in leadership or in power wants to meet with you in their office, and they say, "Hey, I just want to meet with you." You go, "Oh no." Or the principal calls you in his office. He goes, "Hey, I just want to talk to you. Come on in for a..." "Oh no, what are they going to say this time?" For the most part, I think most of us have that kind of, "Oh, what's up?" Here, the God of the universe, the one with most power, supreme, shows up to Mary. And she's frightened. We're not sure exactly why. Maybe it's because there's a big, freaking big angel in a room or whatever. And she's, "Ah!" Right? But she's disturbed. She's like, "Oh, what is this?" It's God showing up. And he speaks truth into her life. And he starts with these words, "Greetings, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you." "Yeah, right. Why am I so afraid?" I lean towards that quite often. And here is that God is speaking these things. Sometimes it's hard to hear. I don't hear these things. I don't know about you, about what the tapes play in your head at times, but for some reason it can be hard for us to hear the positive and the truth. At times, it's hard for us to hear the hard things too, because we want to puff ourselves up to be something that we're not. But sometimes it's really equally as hard as to hear those that affirmation in our lives. And before Mary hears anything else, God wants her to hear this: "Good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty. You're beautiful inside and out. God be with you." Her identity is a gift from God, actually. This affirmation is speaking to who she is. And it's a gift from God. "You're favored, you're beloved, you're beautiful to me." And we need to understand this, that Mary is too poor to purchase her place in society. She's a Jewish female without a voice. Which means that even if she did have any accomplishments at all, they would have gone totally unrecognized. A pretty poor candidate to bring salvation to the world. And this is who God chooses. This is exactly why he enlists her. So his glory would be manifested. So people and millions of people for years to come would be able to see and understand the kingdom of God comes and it makes it possible because of what God is doing, not what we're doing. Greetings. It's a gift. You're high. You're favored. There's nothing that she did. Nothing about Mary suggests that she can do anything here apart from God. And he begins with this truth. Don't believe all the comparisons about the rich and famous. Don't stack yourself up against others. Listen to what I say. This is the truth I say about you. You are favored. I'm hammering this point. I recognize some of you are going, wow, he's just repeating himself. I think we need to understand that. And sometimes we just need pause in our space to understand that. And then it says she was troubled in hearing that. So often we hear God's voice and we're longing to hear him speak to us. And when he does, and even if he does say something positive, we're like, we're troubled. We're like, I don't know if I believe that. We wonder why God would speak to us or speak to me. What would God want from me? I'm not worthy. I'm just a person trying to make their way in life and not even doing a great job at it most of the time. And God would want to speak to me and use me? What? So he speaks to this poor Jewish 14-year-old girl. He says, you are favored. The Lord Yahweh is with you. And scripture is filled with these kinds of people, isn't it? Moses, a stutterer and a murderer, he uses. Rahab, mistress of the night. Elijah and Jonah, probably who both suffered from great depression. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. Religious leaders consider them unschooled ordinary men. God picks a 90-year-old woman who's barren, Sarah, to reveal himself in Isaac. And the list goes on and on. God sees something in people that they cannot see in themselves and seeks the affirmation and seeks to affirm and bring the truth that they're dear, precious people that he loves and he wants the best for. Now, don't get me wrong. We're totally depraved. There's ugliness in my heart, and I can say in most of yours, not that I've seen it all, but there's ugliness in our hearts and selfishness and pride that sets us up against who God is and says, I want to do this on my own. This is what I want to do. And as we understand and heard Wayne say last year, in this Advent season, this Christmas time, it's God in his humility that would say, you know what I see in you is this. I love you so much. Somehow the great mystery that he sees us through the blood and the understanding of Jesus being supreme and sitting on the throne, he sees us. And that sin is no more. It's a mystery. It's a great mystery. And so there's so much sin in us, but there's something holy and mysterious about who we are as well, that we are made in God's image. That there is someone, that there's people that you work with that have the foulest mouth ever, that are living a life that you just like boggles your mind how it could even happen, that God wants you to see in them something beautiful. He wants you to see in them something that he would see, that he would love them so much, that he would even start this thing called Christmas, which leads to Easter, which leads to redemption and reconciliation and his kingdom and all things beautiful. So somehow, even in the affirmation, Mary is fearful. And God sees this and he counters this fear with encouragement. He says, don't be afraid. Remember, you're favored. The Lord is with you. I don't know how many situations you've been in that you need to hear that. I've been in a number. Some of them are just actually going to a high school campus. I'm like, what's the creepy 40-year-old showing up here for? Right? And it's like, and seriously, God speaks, he says, don't be afraid. Who cares? Doesn't matter. No one's looking at your pot belly. You're fine. They might be now, though. don't be afraid. And there's obviously other situations that are much harsher and worse that he speaks, don't be afraid. Now, I didn't have time this week to source this out myself and try to actually, okay, is this true? But I'm going to take the word of Steve Clawson at the Mark Center and Daryl Johnson, who is a prophet at Regent College, as well as now the senior pastor at First Baptist in Vancouver, that they've both said that do not be afraid is the number one phrase that God uses with his people. The number one phrase. I went, whoa. Interesting. Somehow in us, there's this timidity when we think God might use us, and he speaks into us and he says, do not be afraid. He wants to bring courage in the midst of the situation that we're walking in and through. The phrase, do not be afraid, fear not. Encouragement calms our fears. Remember what the definition of encouragement is, to give hope and support to be able to live through and walk through the difficult situations in life. Mary is frightened, and God spoke into that fear. He says, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. He gave her the hope that she needed. Because Mary is beloved by God, because she has found favor in God's eyes, God has a plan for her. It's interesting. It's nothing that she's done, right? It's because God has favor for her. Because God wants to encourage, and he has a plan for her. It's an astonishing plan. There's a quote here by Kendra Creasy says, it's not the later one, it's one that's not on the screen, but it says, it's an astonishing plan. Never mind the angel in the living room, never mind the impossible conception, never mind the fact that the child is going to grow up to be a king. Something revolutionary has happened here. God has just asked an unmarried, pregnant teenager to bring salvation to the world. And we need to be reminded of that. This is our God. He does things so different than what we would think or imagine. And Mary responds, yeah, right. Like a normal teenager. Yeah, right. How can this be? I'm a virgin. Very good point. And many of us can approach life like this. Yeah, right. What do I have to offer? Can I get through this today? Would God actually want to use me? Yeah, right. And the beauty of it is that in the midst of God bringing affirmation and encouragement to something, to someone, he's wanting a miracle to be birthed and happen. And it's God's miracle and not ours. And it's understanding who we are that moves us to understand what we do and how we do it. It's an astonishing plan. Verse 35 to 37 says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born to you will be holy. He will be called the Son of God, and now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And the sixth month for her, who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. It's because God's power, that anything will happen. It's God's power in us. I need us to understand that Mary is this God bearer, this wild mix of this woman who God has chosen to then physically birth his son in. And she is a God bearer. And I want to suggest to you, where many other people have, that we are all God bearers. That there's this mystery. Christ, the Savior of the world, has been given to Mary to take care of, to nurture, to ultimately give away for the entire world. That we here, those of you that are Christ followers, that are Christians, we are God bearers. We have a responsibility to bear the grace of God in this world, in our own lives, to the lives around us, but ultimately to the world. This, I think, is what we need the most encouragement to do. We need encouragement to live our life, yes. We need encouragement to go through situations, yes. We need affirmation to understand who we are so we can just like get through the next day. But I really think the encouragement and affirmation we need is to be people that would be God bearers in this culture, in this time, for these people around us, for the people that we judge so quickly, that we would be God's bearer of grace and joy and love and hope to them. Because we can look at encouragement and affirmation, to, like these self-help things to make you make sure you have a great day this next week and kind of help you. And I understand that, and we need to do that. But I think the grander picture and the bigger picture is for us to understand that Jesus has called you. Jesus has broken into your life and has disturbed you because he says it's not really about your plans. It's about what I want to do through you. And he says, listen, I love you. I want the best for you. And the best for you is that you would be the best for everyone else and to me. And so as I struggle with this idea of encouragement and affirmation, but understanding that, yeah, I think the ultimate understanding here is that Mary was this God-bearer that needed and God spoke encouragement and affirmation to her to be able to do what God has called her to do. That she knew who she was, that affected what she did and how she did it. And I want to take a bit of on a spiritual direction journey. Hopefully we can all track here. I'll get to that in a second, but I want to explain this story to her, to you once. I had this really strange and awkward phone call this week on Tuesday. Marta got the phone call on Monday, and she sent me an email with the number and just said, there's this woman that gave you a call looking for Kevin Snyder. I said, I'm Kevin Snyder. I'll call her back. And so it was a 289 phone number. And so I thought, okay, I don't know. And Marta said, it sounds like an African accent. I said, okay, like, am I calling Africa? That's why I did it actually at the office. wink, wink. So I called her and I said, hi, I'm Kevin Snyder returning your phone call. She goes, you're Kevin Snyder. I was like, for like just a nanosecond, I thought like I was a rock star or something to a strange woman, which is kind of like rock stars too. And I said, yeah, I'm Kevin Snyder. Oh, and she goes, were you in Africa in 96 around then? Yes, I was. Do you have anything to do with YWAM? Were you ever on YWAM? No. I love YWAM, but I've never been on it. But I was on this thing called Youth Mission International with our conference. It's kind of like YWAM, but it was under our umbrella. She's like, were you in Zimbabwe? No, I was in Zaire. This is getting strange. I'm actually waiting for her to say, can you send me your checkbook? Can you give me your Visa PIN? You know, I'm just a little cautious. We've all got some of those emails, right? And I said, I kept okay, so wasn't in Zimbabwe, I was in Zaire. And she goes, well, there was a Kevin Snyder that came to Zimbabwe with the YWAM team for 2 to 3 weeks. And my sister and myself and a bunch of other teenagers hung out with him for 2 weeks, but it felt like 2 years because it was such a pivotal point in our lives. And we gave our lives to Jesus. And I'm just trying to find this Kevin Snyder. I'm like, in my head I'm going, there was a Kevin Snyder from Canada in Zimbabwe doing the same thing I was doing in Zaire at the same time? Wow. This is crazy. And so I kept asking your questions and what is this all about, and we had this kindred spirit, and she's explaining a little bit more about Zimbabwe, and then I'm going, well, we're sponsoring someone in Zimbabwe. In fact, our lead pastor Wayne is going to Zimbabwe, and then this is where I was like, are you in Zimbabwe? Like I should have asked that earlier, after a half an hour, And and she goes, no, I'm in Welland, Ontario. I said, what? Welland, Ontario. I've been there. Don't always want to be there. And so so you're in Welland. What are you doing in Welland? And she says, here's my story. And she'd be okay with me saying this. I asked her. And she says, here's my story. In a nutshell, she was grew up in Zimbabwe, became Christian through Kevin, servant of the Lord, Kevin Snyder, in Zimbabwe with YWAM, a short-term missions trip. And then they leave. She was part of, like, she had never really understood, like, a community church or, like, a church that was, she didn't know that there was any other churches other than Catholic Church. And so it was such a good part of her life. She said it was amazing. And then she, you know, did some schooling, went to university, went to some crazy things that were happening in Zimbabwe. So she thought, let's go to South Africa. She met the man of her dreams in South Africa. She got married. He was from England, but I believe there was some South African roots. And then they thought, okay, things aren't happening. Things aren't doing all that great in South Africa now. Let's go back to Zimbabwe and buy a farm. So they went to Zimbabwe. I don't know if you understand what's happening. You ask Wayne, and he has a much fuller understanding of what's going on in Zimbabwe. And so they went and bought a farm, and then they had a little girl who's 2 years old now. And then they realized, wow, all havoc is happening in Zimbabwe, and people are basically ruling themselves, and they're taking out farmers. And they're killing the farmers to have the land and the cattle and all this stuff. And so they went, okay, let's get out of Zimbabwe. I was like, that's a really good thing. Like, it's not good to die. And then they go back to South Africa, and they're trying to figure this out, but just for a short time. And then her husband's like, okay, well, let's just go somewhere. Let's get out of here. And so Canada. She has a sister that lives in the States, I think a mom that lives around the same area too, that came over to Canada. And so here she is in Welland with her 2-year-old girl, and then she says, my husband stayed in Zimbabwe to try to see if he could get some money for the farm. And she waits for him, and she says, November 21st rocked my world. November 21st is when her husband came back, traveled 10,000 miles to come to Canada and met with her and said, basically dropped a bombshell on her and said, I really don't want to be involved with you anymore. What? Like, you just traveled? Yeah. So I guess there was another woman involved and whatever. And here she is in Canada with a 2-year-old, with a father and a husband that actually says, I do not want to be involved in your life anymore, and is now flown back to Africa. That's a tough situation. And here she is sitting there, and I'm talking to, and she's trying to locate Kevin Snyder. And so they narrow it down, because there's a lot of Kevin Snyders. Strange. There's a guy in Boston who's an artist that draws fat cats. That's all I know. Maybe some of you have pictures of fat cats. They're really good. But she was like, yeah, so I was just at my wit's end, but really sensing God's peace in all this, in some of this stuff, it's hard, but realizing a miracle that took place in my life when I was 15 years old in Zimbabwe, when Kevin Snyder and some other guys led us to the person of Jesus. There's an inbreaking, a birth that happened in her. And I said, and I'm going to kind of go, what is my place in all this? I said, Nayari, if I'm pronouncing her name right, I said, you know, can I pray for you? And I thought, like, I probably should do that. And she says, oh, yeah, great. And I said, there's this verse that I've been bumping into in the last week or two. And it's one of those verses that everybody loves, but hasn't really, it's not like, you know, sometimes you lean towards verses that gravitate towards you or whatever. And it's never been like an aha thing for me. But it's a very popular verse. And so I said, I just want to read this scripture for you. and I want to pray for you. So I prayed for her, kind of like an Advent prayer, just thanking Jesus that he comes in the midst of our stuff, that he comes to the weak and the lowly. He comes in the midst of when odds are against us, that this is our God that wants to come and be with us. It's nothing that we've done, and prayed for her. And then I read Jeremiah 29:11-13 for her. And his paraphrase is, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future to prosper you. If you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with your whole face. And at the end of this conversation, she's kind of like weeping on the phone. And she says, thank you, Kevin Snyder, for this word of encouragement, this word that I'm going to hang on to this week, and who I am in the midst of this situation. And here I am prepping this sermon to speak of just this. Bizarre. God is bearing life in the lives of the most unlikely candidates. Maybe you're sitting here today and odds are stacked up against you. Situation that has happened to you is causing doubt and pain in your life. Or maybe from the outside, your life looks really good to everyone else. Yet there's a season of doubt, anxiety, or maybe just plain apathy. And you're saying, nah, I can't do it. I can't do what God expects of me. This is what I want for my life, not this. The Advent story is a story, the Christmas story is a story that God comes in humility, willing to live with us and even in us, this great mystery. And he is wanting to affirm the truth of who you are, to give you the encouragement you need to face the stuff of life in the everydayness of life. He did that with Mary in a huge, miraculous way, and he does want to do the same for you today. I had an opportunity to hang out with Steve Embach a couple of years ago, and I've seen him from now time to time. And he gave this image to a bunch of people that were at a... So if you go to... This is the Virgin of Vladimir. And so give this image, and it's kind of like you look at it and kind of maybe even being from a evangelical background like myself, and you kind of look at it and go, whoa, it's like a icon. What do you do with those? You know, and... But he kind of walked through it with us, and if you go to my office today, you'll see this picture up in my office, and I do look at it quite often. I try to understand it, and I won't try to unpack too much of it here, but there's this strange thing happening here. It's the mystery that Jesus, who's represented by an infant here and a very awkward and strong neck, representing his power and who he is. But there's this image that Jesus, in his humility, somehow, and I don't understand the mystery of it, is looking up into Mary, longing to be nurtured, longing to be, to have her bear him, raise him, but also longing and looking and seeing what possibly she needs to walk through in life to be able to do that. And so there's this solemnness of it too. And this image comes back to me quite often, mainly because I see it every day, almost every day. And it's quirky, but there's this huge understanding, understanding for me to understand that this mystery of the gospel of Jesus is that the God of the universe is looking to us to bear his image around us. He wants us to know and understand that we're loved by him, and he believes in us to be able to do the work because it's him doing the work through us. There's this quote I want to put up here by Kendra Creasy Dean. Life is a womb, an incubation ward for potential God-bearers as they ponder and struggle with the news that God is crazy in love with them, would die for them, and in fact has. What this world needs is needs more than gung-ho people or God-bearing people, people whose own yes to God has transformed them into messengers of the gospel. And we understand Mary says yes. Or the writer, that's what the writer writes down, yes. Have it be done to me what you would want. And I wonder how we can be God bearers this week. Would you be affirmed in who you are? That God speaks love and kindness to you, that he wants the best for you in your life, that he wants to bring encouragement in your life, that not only to be able to get through every day, but to get through the stuff of life so that you can be this God-bearer, to be able to proclaim and live out the good news of the gospel to those around you and to even those closest in your lives. One other thing came to mind as I was talking with Nayari was, here I am on the phone speaking to someone in Welland who came from Zimbabwe, and I have this encouragement, this word for her that, you know, whatever, speaks deep to her heart. There's a part of me that went, oh, why am I not doing that to those around me here? What does it take? Someone from Africa who's living in Welland to give me a call so that I can be aware of what, oh yeah, maybe I have a word for you, Nayari. And we are to be that same encouragement to those around us. I wanted to live in one passage and there wasn't this, but there's all kinds of scripture. Bible Gateway it. Look up encouragement. Do your own research this week. But Hebrews, it's not on the screen, I don't think, but Hebrews 10:25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another, acts of loving kindness and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together as some of the habit of doing, but let's encourage each other all the more, especially as we see the day drawing near. Who is around you that could be a God-bearer this week? Who are you able to affirm? Who are you able to encourage? Because God has encouraged you. There's a... on the aisle, on the ends of the aisles, there's some encouragement cards. And so you can just kind of pass them down. You guys can fight over which ones are you'd like or not like. But there's some that are flowery. There's some with a happy face. There's some that just have words. And some other things that just say, I want to just tell you this because. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And to maybe a family member, maybe you're like, wow, I just really need to speak these words to my friend this week, my wife this week, my husband, my son, my mom, my dad, who knows. And I want to take a couple or one or whatever you want to do. You could do them now and give them to people, or you can just take them home. And I really want to give us some practical way to be able to speak truth and affirmation into somebody's life, because we might not know what happens in their lives. I wonder what's going to happen with Nayari in the midst of this difficulty. But this awesome opportunity for me to speak those words of life, that she would be reminded of who she is again. And so I just want to encourage you this week that you are God bearers. Jesus has entrusted you in his mystery and humility, entrusted you with the gospel to bring those to bring that to people around you. Wayne has some pencils if you want to write those out now, but I'm going to want to encourage us in that, and I'm gonna just end in praying. Thank you for your time. Wow. Thanks for your time. Thanks that you would even listen this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for who you are. That you are the one who inbreaks, the one that comes and meets us in the midst of life. Meets us in the ordinary. Pray that we'd have eyes to see you this week. Thank you that you, we are humbled, God, that you would even entrust this gospel message to us. And so we receive this affirmation that you've given us today. We receive this word that you had for Mary, that we would take hold of ourselves so that you would be glorified, that we would be able to bear your grace and your love and your hope and your goodness and your beauty to those around us, so that during this Advent season that we would see more people experience who you are, and that we'd be able to sing these Christmas songs with meaning in their life. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.